Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by West Virginia's finest. We got Matt Harmon checking out the Arby's menu.
I was wondering if we were going to mention that, obviously.
Can confirm they do not serve breakfast.
Yeah, they do not serve breakfast at Arby's. Not a good start to the day. That's one of the first things I've done today is look at the Arby's menu.
It's your internet history, like tweet deck and then Arby's menu.
I mean, yeah, right. Got to get on Twitter, inject all the takes into my veins, and then let me look at potential lunch options at the Arby's.
At the Arby's,
yeah, no breakfast, which is a shame. The first thing that popped up is Arby's, like, we'd like to know your location. I'm like, no, you cannot. You may not know my location, Arby's.
This is the kind of day it's going to be because Harmon's looking at Arby's, and Alex Gelhart off air. Told me that he's ready for the day to be over at 8:05 a.m.
Well, it's just because I have a very full slate today. I've got a lot of work to do. I've got some corpo meetings I've gotten sucked into that require extra work. And I want the day to be over because my sister comes to town for the weekend, and we're going to see the Disaster Artist tonight. So I'm very excited.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very jealous.
We have the Magical Beard of Fantasy as well. Rocking a new sweater. I like the sweater.
This is old. This has been over my chair all season.
Matt Francisco.
But it's cold now.
It's a very clean look.
It's good. I like it. It's like
it's a cardigan.
It's a speckled cardigan. I like it.
This is an oldie but a goodie.
We have producer Chris in the building as well. What's up?
Good morning,
man?
Guys. Got a lot of wires, man. I walked
There's
in.
A lot of wires. We are from the closet, as usual.
Resistance Radio.
I walked in and walked out to get a coffee, and I was just looking and admiring all the wires. A lot
it
of
is
them today.
Quite magnificent.
It looks good. I like it.
It's a metaphor for our lives.
James, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You're wearing your.
I think it's the first time
hip-hop artist.
My get up because I've got a backwards cap on.
Yeah,
actually, I have a New York, T-shirt on.
Aren't you supposed to be like West Coast till I die, bro?
Were you just?
Yes.
Did you come from the half pipe, bro? doing kick flips.
James is rocking the backwards hat and a zip-up hoodie and his New York shirt. Of course, still a gigantic Clip Nash watch.
Obviously, yeah. Which he's waving around as my sister notes whenever he's on camera. I'm waving it around.
I have my arms crossed. How am I waving it around?
Well, is your arms in the air right now? Can you confirm or deny that?
Okay.
Can you set your fantasy lineup from that watch?
Jeez. What a great show in front of us here today.
Maybe. I don't know.
Man, it's playoff time, man.
Playoffs.
It's crazy. It is insane. It's crazy that we're here. We're legitimately talking about playoffs today.
Yep.
We are legitimately talking about playoffs. We're going to help you guys get your starts and sits in here for week one of the playoffs. Oh, my goodness. Stakes so high. I absolutely love it. I love this time of year. We're going to give you some deep sleepers for those of you in deep leagues. We're going to get to every damn game. MDG, most damn games. Most damn games. We're going to tell you what's happening in that Detroit and Tampa Bay game. We're going to be telling you what's happening Sunday Night Football. It's Baltimore. It's Pittsburgh. We're going to break down that game as well and, of course, close out your show with a round of Daily Dafts. But let's start your show, as we always do, with your top headlines.
Breaking news.
Break. All right. Let's talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. Suspended one game for his crackback block on Monday. Is it Martavis Bryant time, French?
I think you can expect maybe like a low-end flex type production out of him. When Juju missed, I believe it was week 12 against Green Bay, which is the best matchup you can get. Yeah, he had 40 yards and a touchdown. He hasn't had more than 42 yards in a game over the last month. And this isn't the greatest matchup against Baltimore D that's allowed just a 2.1% touchdown rate to opposing wide receivers.
Although no Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, they did just lose
that's
top
true.
Jimmy Smith.
This is true. But yeah, I think you can flex Bryant with Juju out, but don't expect that incredible ceiling that he would have last year.
I have been telling people not to flex Juju. I don't feel... Excuse me.
Not
Martavis.
To flex Martavis?
I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I Jimmy Smith gone, but the quality of the corners will obviously have a trickle down effect. But what's the ceiling with Martavis Bryant?
It's not high.
You know what I mean?
There is none.
And the floor is nothing.
Crater.
That's what I'm worried
like
about.
Like I said, he hasn't had more than 42 yards over the last month, even in a game with Juju out.
So if we're talking playoff time.
Playoffs.
You know what I mean? And there's,
you need the upside.
And if you're chasing upside, isn't there something mm-hmm. else you can chase on the waiver wire? Or, I don't know.
I believe so.
I don't feel great about it.
Yeah. I'm with you.
What are all these
low-end flex? That's what I'm saying.
There's so many extra notes in the rundown now.
So I was communicating to Harmon to not disrupt the show, and he's not taking it. Instead, he's
what
just.
What do you mean? Yeah. I'm taking it. I moved the freaking mic. Okay. What do you
moved
want?
It closer right. to you. Never mind.
No, I did not move it. Oh, this is outrageous.
Okay. Slander.
Yeah, slander. Okay. I'm good. Being slandered.
Let's do a tight end whip around because there's so much tight end news.
All
the tight end news, man. Rob Gronkowski suspended one game. Dirty cheap shot on Tre'Davious White. I mean, one of the dirtiest cheap shots we've seen in a long time.
So bad.
One game for I don't understand. One game for that, but one game for Juju as well? What?
Nah.
I don't know.
Don't try.
We okay. have years worth of evidence that these punishments doled out by the NFL really don't mean anything, and it's like they're just drawn from a hat or a dart thrown at a board.
I mean, because I could understand if it was not Juju Smith-Schuster, right? But it's like his first, like, you know what I mean? The crackback block was, you know, it wasn't great.
He did it in the wrong game. That's what happened.
He did it in the wrong game.
But that's a good – you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's about optics, too, like the way he stood over him and all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
the taunting wasn't cool.
No.
And he apologized for it. But Gronk's thing was
so
not even on a football play.
That was totally
– it was after the play ended.
Look, whatever. Nobody knows – we don't know what a catch is. We don't know what a punishment is in the NFL. We should not sit here and try to debate it because we're all going to go crazy at this table trying to figure out –
we'll debate it if
how it happens. Fine, then we're all going to go crazy.
Fine, fair enough.
That would be very out of the norm.
Yeah, this is normally such a well-mannered and even-tempered podcast.
Gronk suspended one game. Zach Ertz, dealing with concussion, didn't practice. He's looking questionable. He's not looking great. Greg Olsen was a full participant. He looks like he's going to be good to go. Hunter Henry for the Chargers with a knee. Limited in practice. He is expected to play versus Washington. Again, what are you doing for those folks who have Gronk and Ertz, two of the best tight ends in fantasy football? It's playoff week. You don't have their services at a position that is not very deep. What are you guys doing? And we'll start with you, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, it sucks that you're losing two of the best at the position, two of the guys you can actually count on. Zach Ertz's backup, Trey Burton, is interesting to me. Burton drew 7 targets in Seattle with Ertz out of the mix. He went for 41 yards and a score and a win over Denver that Ertz missed earlier in the year. So you have some recent history of him actually being productive when Ertz is out of the lineup. He's like a true move tight end type of guy, so I think you can count on him as with some receiving ability. The Rams have allowed 30 catches to tight ends over the last 4 weeks, so it's a good matchup too. Another guy that I like is David Njoku from the Browns, who have stability in their coaching staff, thank goodness, after today's news. he has been somebody that has frustratingly like not been on the field a lot this year, but he has been over 50%+ of the snaps in 3 of his last 4 games.
Interesting.
He has 4 catches in back-to-back weeks. I think it's a priority for them to get him going because he's really talented and he flashes. And, you know, I know people are like, well, the Packers haven't allowed a lot of production to tight ends, but, like, who really cares? They just gave up 2 touchdowns to Cameron Brate last week. So I really like Njoku if you need a streamer as well. And Ricky Seals-Jones. Shoot, like, I know he's never on the field, but when he's on the field, he gets targets. I think he has 5, 6, and 5 the last 3 weeks. So.
That's interesting to me, right? Like, he plays, like, 17 snaps, and of those 17,
they roll him out there.
They're going to throw it to him.
He's second on the team in targets behind Larry Fitzgerald in the 3 games Blaine Gabbert has started.
Yeah. Really?
16 targets.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Gabbert is obviously looking for him when he's on the field, and that's really all that – like, it's never going to feel good to throw somebody out there that plays on, like, 15 or 17 snaps or whatever a game.
Exactly.
But the fact that he and Gabbert seem to have a connection, especially in scoring position, like, you got to trust it, I think.
It is convenient, at least, that a bunch of these guys are popping up right when some of the big names are down or going out. Because also, like, I mean, we tempered expectations with Steven Anderson earlier in the week, but that was before on the news Bruce Ellington went on IR.
So did CJ Fedorowicz.
And Fedorowicz. So, like,
Bruce Ellington, pour some out.
I know. And Bruce Bolger is over. Harmon's favorite receiver is out of playing time again. But I think that puts Steven Anderson into the mix because that opens up a lot of targets, and he performed well last week. So we've got a lot of, and it's a good matchup for him against the 49ers. They actually allowed a receiving touchdown to a tight end in five straight games before that game last week against the Bears, who really just don't have an offense. So.
Trey Burton, Steven Anderson, two, I think, good, decent streamers for those of you desperate at the position.
Two more guys I wrote about in my streaming article at tight end, and Gelhar echoed Cameron Braid on his waiver wire column. A lot of people dropped him, had two touchdowns last week.
Right.
With Jameis Winston's first game back, he might be available. The Lions have been kind of gashed by tight ends. Kyle Rudolph had two touchdowns against them in week 12, and Benjamin Watson scored against them in week 13.
Evan Engram smashed him, I think, in like week 2 as well.
Yep, and Jason Witten might be out there in some leagues. He scored a touchdown. I think he only had one catch for 8 yards, but it was a touchdown last week, and he historically does well against the Giants. He posted 7.59 and a touchdown against them in week 1. So
also,
if he's out there.
If we're following his silly box score trends, I believe he's gone like 7 catches, 1 catch, 7 catches, 1 catch.
Yes.
So he's due for another 7 catch game.
He's due. Nice.
There's a
lot. That's just science, nice, guys.
Yeah. There's a lot of tight end options.
Yeah.
Speaking of tight end, so we mentioned Hunter Henry. He had a mild hyperextension of his knee, I think, is the preliminary report. What? Regardless, he's expected to play versus Washington. Are you trusting him, franchise, in week 14 against Washington? Playoff hopes and dreams on the line?
Yes, I am trusting him. Adam Kaplan reported yesterday that he's not even on the injury report anymore. He
Amazing.
Will play Sunday. Ooh. Washington has...
How crazy is that, by the way? Did you guys see the hit that he actually took on
it looks,
right on the knee?
It looks
disgusting.
Scary. Yeah.
Crazy. Anyways, he's going to play.
And Washington is one of the worst teams in the league in defending tight ends. They have been all season. They've allowed 7 touchdowns to tight ends, 65.9 receiving yards per game to tight ends, which is a bottom 3 mark, and the 4th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. They're one of only 4 teams allowing double-digit fantasy points per game to the position.
While we have producer Chris in the building, what has Mike Williams look like? To me, that will be the key as to whether or not I would recommend playing Hunter Henry, because it just seems as if when Mike Williams is out there, Hunter Henry's not a big part of the passing game, or at least a not consistent part of the passing game.
Well, he's been limited in practice this week, so I guess we're taping this on a Thursday. We still don't know if he's going to play on Sunday.
We don't know
Sunday.
If he's going to practice today or tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think he was. I think he did some things yesterday.
Okay.
So
how did he look?
When we say some things, it's not. I don't think it's anything you can take from, like, hey, you look good out there, you know.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I don't know. I think regardless, Hunter Henry is a player. You know, franchise alluded to it. The Skins have had trouble against the tight end.
Yeah.
And as long as Keenan Allen is rolling like this, man, everything else clicks around that.
I see what you're saying.
You know, the last 3 games, when you have 33 catches, 436 yards, 4 touchdowns, everything else kind of falls into place. So I think Hunter Henry's going to definitely have some one-on-one opportunities against this Redskins defense that, you know, they're out of the playoff hunt now. You wonder, they've been decimated by injuries on both sides of the football. Hunter Henry is a guy that I would trust this week on your playoff roster.
Okay, I like it. All right, so we mentioned that more tight end news. Of course, CJ Fedoro, it's placed on IR. Bruce Bull, hashtag Bruce Bull, is sadly dead.
Ugh. No!
Bruce Ellington, placed on IR. Also of note, Will Fuller, ribs, close to coming back. No official report as to whether or not he will play here on Sunday, but he's getting close. Let's stick with the wide receiver theme. Amari Cooper, he's cleared the concussion protocol, but he did miss practice on Wednesday as he continues to come back from an ankle injury. That's just going to be another injury that we have to keep a very close eye on. Doug Martin, concussion, practicing in full. He's completely mucking up that Tampa Bay backfield. Peyton Barber, he emerged last week in week 13, racking up nearly 150 total yards last week. What are you guys doing in this Tampa Bay backfield, Alex Gilhar?
I'm leaning on the side of trusting Peyton Barber as maybe a flex at least. He just showed so much. I think I would be surprised if they went back fully to Martin. And they were already throwing touches from Martin to Jaquizz Rodgers and Charles Sims in the backfield. Anyways,
you're not playing Martin.
I'm not playing Martin. Okay. He had been bad when he was more of a featured back.
Saying.
And now
right.
that he's losing some work, I think the run that Peyton Barber has with scoring his two touchdowns 2 weeks ago, having a very nice overall performance last week against the Packers, I think he could be a flex play in this game.
Anybody trusting Peyton Barber? It's hard to trust just given the backfield split. I just, I can't see myself recommending playing Peyton Barber. That's tough.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those hot hand situations. Like, if Doug Martin gets back out there and gets going, then they keep giving him the ball. If they give Peyton Barber a few touches in the first quarter and he's on a roll, then they kind of give him more volume as the game goes on, and it's just going to be super unpredictable. And it sucks because it's a good matchup for all these guys.
Right, it is a really good matchup. Detroit's run defense hasn't been great in recent weeks, so that's why I'm okay with giving Barber a shot. But,
I see.
I mean, yeah. It's also like if you have better options, don't – you know, Peyton Barber shouldn't be your tiebreaker. It's just if you're in dire straits and it's like Orleans Darkwa or Peyton Barber – then I'm probably going Barber.
All right. Adrian Peterson, neck. Remember, he missed week 13. He still has continued to not see the practice field as of yet. He's looking very doubtful for his game against Tennessee. Are you trusting – who is back there in the Arizona?
Kerwin Williams.
Kerwin Williams.
That's about it. DJ Foster is the other guy.
Are we trusting Kerwin Williams against Tennessee, Matt Harmon?
Well, he had 16 carries over 90 yards and no work in the passing game last week. The Rams' defense is definitely not good against the run, so it was a solid spot for him last week. But I don't really think I'm good. I don't really think I would mess around with it unless like I absolutely have no other choice. That's not something like again a back who's not going to get thrown the football like in a game that. You know, in an offense that's manned by Blaine Gabbert, I would really rather not trust that.
Blaine Gabbert came back to earth a little bit there in week 13. But prior to that, he had been playing pretty well.
I like Gabbert this week, too, against Tennessee. But, it's a real thin margin for error in a week where I'd, really rather not roll out somebody that I feel just completely uncomfortable with. Because, again, if Kerwin Williams, if he's not going to get any passing game work and he goes out there and he runs, you know, he takes 16 carries for 35 yards instead of 90-something yards like he did last week, then you're looking at, like, 3 points, and that sucks.
And Tennessee's only allowed 4 rushing touchdowns to running backs all season. So tough matchup, too.
All right, deep sleeper time. Let's go around the horn. Matt Franchise, what do you got as a deep sleeper for playoff week number one?
I'm sticking with the Cardinals game here. I'm going with J.J. Nelson against the Titans. He has 15 targets in the last 3 games.
Interesting. Wow.
Only 4 catches, though.
Okay.
So I think it's a matter of Blaine Gabbert's accuracy. They just can't connect on these deep balls. He's throwing it deep. Gabbert's throwing it deep, but he's not connecting. And I think all they need to do is connect on one or two of these deep bombs, and we've seen J.J. Nelson kind of explode before.
Sure.
And he's been on the field for 79% of the snaps last week.
Don't hate it, man.
He's getting the targets.
I don't think Tennessee's defense is very good.
Exactly. It's a good matchup. The Tennessee secondary isn't great.
Nope.
So, if you're looking for a deep guy, not a ton of volume, but J.J. Nelson just needs one big play.
Let's get
I'm going with somebody that you hyped up a little bit in Co-Knows this week as well, and that's Trent Taylor.
Yes.
Because not only did he have a good week last week with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, catching all of his targets, but Garoppolo, and I think you kind of noted this too, but I went back and I actually looked at the numbers. In his 3 starts dating back to New England too, he's thrown about 24% of his targets to his slot guys. So Trent Taylor and Julian Edelman. It's a position he's comfortable with. It's one, I think, that is in his area where he can throw it very accurately and help move the chains and stuff. And the Texan secondary has just been brutalized all year.
Brutalized.
I think if Jimmy G is on the radar for a lot of us as a streamer, that means people are going to be have to catching passes and racking up yards. And Taylor is somebody that's unowned in a gajillion leagues. So.
Man, the one thing I really liked about that Niners offense from a fantasy perspective anyways is the fact that you know where the ball is going. It's going to Marquise Goodwin. It's going to Trent Taylor. So
it's pretty concentrated by a result of not having a ton of depth at the position and, Pierre Garçon being on IR.
Yeah, but, I mean, he could have mixed in his running backs or his tight ends as well, which he did to a degree. But, you know, the targets that Trent Taylor and Marquise Goodwin were getting, they're high-quality targets. I like him. I like it. So I like Trent Taylor there. All right, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
So how about Teon Green in Detroit?
No, yeah. You know, I love this. Although Amir Abdullah is close to
he's limited, and he could be back. But here's the thing that still makes him appealing to me is they've really never wanted to trust Amir Abdullah around the goal line.
You could have just stopped at trust Amir Abdullah.
Right.
Well, between the 20s, I don't know.
Has the name Teon Green ever been uttered in this podcast?
No.
We forgot to talk about him even Monday in the recap.
That's a good point. But, I mean, when he popped up last week, it was – I mean – I had to hit the Googles. I don't know who the hell Teyon Green
was. Our pal Josh Norris at RotoWorld on their Waiver Wire podcast earlier called him a fake person.
fake person
Teyon Green. Like, he's just a
he's like a Madden. He's like a Madden creative player.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
it's pretty hilarious. Like, so Amir Abdullah, I mean, pretty good reason why they haven't wanted to trust him anyways. I mean, over the last five games played, he's averaged under 3 yards a carry in four of them. So he hasn't been good. He hasn't even been good this year, even when he's been on the field. Teyon Green led the team in carries with 11 during their Week 13 loss to Baltimore. First action of his NFL career, he ripped off a 33-yard run on his first play. But more importantly, he's a 220-pound back, and he had two carries inside the opposing 10-yard line, and he punched in one for a score. But like I said, the Lions never seem to want to trust Amir Abdullah in that role. So again, super thin, but you know he could retain goal line duties if this team does not want to use Amir too much in his first game back.
Oh man, Teyon Green,
why not?
I love it. I was going to go with Trey Burton as a deep sleeper, but for all the reasons that the boys here have outlined before. Good usage in the pass game. I think it's a pretty good matchup as well. Trey Burton, if you are desperate at the tight end position. Hey, remember, the 2018 Pro Bowl vote is here. It's time to vote for your favorite NFL players to play in the 2018 Pro Bowl in Orlando. Vote now, NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. Can we figure out? Let's do it right now.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum?
That's my nomination. Since we lost Bruce Ellington, let's get Case Keenum. We've all long been fans of Case Keenum, especially dear Matt Harmon.
Yeah.
What are you shaking your head for?
I mean, no, I love the Case Keenum call, but I just don't think I can emotionally get up for another Pro Bowl push.
Come on, we have to do
it.
Why do we have to?
Can't it be someone more random, though?
Can it be Teyon Green? Why not Teyon Green?
God. Could you imagine?
Teyon Bowl.
Teyon time.
Let's figure it out. As a group, let's talk about who we want to
call. But you want
like
more random?
I want a more random one. And I feel as if should it be a wide receiver?
The thing is, I don't know that we have. It doesn't fan voting close like next week or something.
So what,
Juju?
But I mean, we don't have any momentum. Like
I see what you're saying.
Like could have legitimately at least.
Put him on the radar.
Bruce Ellington enough, like,
on the radar.
One of the people from the social team to come up to be like, wait, what the hell is going on with this Bruce Bowl thing? Like, I thought we were close with that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now obviously that's over.
That's true.
Why don't people just still vote for Bruce Ellington? Like, who cares?
That's fine.
I mean, you're not going to make it anyways. Why don't you just still vote for Bruce Ellington?
All right. I like that, too.
Yeah.
And vote for Casey.
I mean, look, like, 30 people are going to get voted into this and not show up, so Bruce will just be another one.
Right.
Like, I mean, whoever wins the actual wide receiver voting, like, will probably have some injury anyways and won't be showing up to the game, so
injury.
Whatever.
Right. Okay, good. All right, Bruce Bowl it is.
Hashtag Bruce Bowl lives on.
And also vote in Case Keenum as well.
Yeah,
because
he's
deserving.
Yeah.
He is deserving.
And it'd be awesome.
Hell yeah.
Can you imagine that's on your resume? If that would be on Case Keenum's resume.
Pro Bowl quarterback.
Pro Bowl quarterback.
He deserves it this year. He's been so good.
He has.
But you know what, though? That's the truth. He does deserve it. He's playing for one of the best teams in the NFL.
He's been awesome.
He himself has played very, very well.
Well, that's why I said Case Keenum, because he's the type of guy that, like, gets overlooked in Pro Bowl voting, because it's so much.
That's true.
Like, fan voting, it's
that's
so much,
true.
Like,
name recognition.
Name recognition, who you see in island games, fantasy. Like, Case Keenum has been balling in fantasy for, like, 6-7 weeks now, and he's still owned in, like, 25% of leagues.
Right. Yeah, and not to mention, like, he won't be able to be, like, the Andy Dalton injury substitute, because the Vikings will be in the Super Bowl. So it doesn't. So.
Guys, Jared Goff and Case Keenum could both have first-round buys. It's entirely possible.
What up, Jeff Fisher?
What up?
We're free.
Jeff Fisher.
Love it.
He
Let's
can't
get to
hurt
MDG.
Us anymore.
Most damn.
He can't hurt us anymore.
That was one of the best like shots of the year was Case and Jared Goff. Like, I think it was either before or post game. Like, hugging each other,
hands
looking
and stuff,
like one, looking like Case was whispering in Jared's ear, like.
Somebody made that joke on Twitter.
Exactly.
It was amazing.
Amazing. All right. NFL.com. NFL.com/fantasy matchups a little later this afternoon if you would like to see every single game. But let's go. Early Sunday games here. Green Bay at Cleveland. Alex Gelhar, what do you got for your boys?
Well, I would love to be back on the Brett Hundley streaming train because this is another good matchup, but I just can't do it. Like, you don't know what you're ever going to get with this guy. On the road, primetime, terrible matchup, drops 270 yards or whatever and three touchdowns. at home, amazing matchup against the Buccaneers, 84 passing yards.
84.
84.
It makes no sense. It, by the way, it took overtime to get to 84.
Yeah.
84. So, no thanks on Brett Hundley. I think we could still trust Jamal Williams because I think he's proven in this time. Like, he was kind of pedestrian to start. He's gotten a lot better. Over 120 scrimmage yards in back-to-back games now. He has looked like he could be a featured back. And, I mean, they only gave Aaron Jones one touch last week. Sure. I think they would still – it would behoove them, and they probably want to bring him along more slowly than just throwing him back into 15, 20 touches. So I'd be concerned
just
about
given
Aaron
the,
Jones.
Given the injury you're saying.
Given the injury, yeah. He's still coming back from a knee injury. He recovered quicker than they expected. But passing game-wise, we're still only starting Devontae Adams. Jordy Nelson hasn't crossed 40 receiving yards in six straight games. I think the Packers' defense –
he still plays in the NFL?
Yeah, he does. He has not officially retired, believe it or not.
That's sad.
The Packers' defense, I think, is still worth a stream. Clay Matthews,
of course you think
Clay Matthews and Kenny Clark came back. They got seven sacks and a turnover and a touchdown last week. The Browns, are even though they have Josh Gordon back, they're still a team to stream against. They rank dead last in turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it really comes down is the fact that they just give the ball up so often.
Yeah, Sean Kizer is still a wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the worst, I think, adjusted yards per attempt and passer rating in the NFL.
Exactly. Season. That being said, I think you could still stream him this week against the Packers.
Yeah, because fantasy's not representation of reality. Yes,
no,
that's true.
Not at all. And the Packers just placed their rookie cornerback Kevin King on IR. Five of the last seven quarterbacks to face them have posted top 10 fantasy numbers. DeShone Kizer gives you the rushing upside. There's Josh Gordon could absolutely rip through this team. I think you start him this week no matter what.
Yeah, buddy.
And then I think both the backs are in the mix for flex appeal. The Packers, hold on, I have a good stat here. I just need to find it in my thing.
While you find it, I'm going to say fantasy mea culpa on Josh Gordon. I'll continue my apology tour here. But I agree. I think he's a must play against Green Bay. But, yeah, man, I mean, obviously I was a guy that someone said, hey, when do you think you're going to say Josh Gordon is a must start? And I said February 1st.
Yeah.
February 1st has come. Sunday.
He's a must start.
James Coe, who's an idiot?
Okay, wow. So
fair enough. That was fair.
The game's gonna be competitive between the Packers and Browns, so I think Crowell stays in the mix. But for Duke Johnson, no team has allowed more receptions or receiving yards to opposing backs over the last month than Green Bay. So
ooh.
I think Johnson is definitely in the mix.
Would you start Josh Gordon or Robbie Anderson? Someone tweeted me that this morning.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Oh God. I think I might chase it with Gordon.
You think I'm still gonna go Robbie Anderson.
I would go Robbie Anderson because the quality of quarterback is better.
I think the quality of the quarterbacks. I think the overall quality of the offense.
Yeah.
The is better. Broncos get Talib back though, and I know their defense has still given
true.
Up touchdowns.
True.
They've given up a lot of passing touchdowns, but a lot of those have been to tight ends. They're still one of the lower efficiency wise pass defenses.
It's weird because they still they don't give up a lot of passing yards,
no,
but
they give
passing
up
a lot, touchdowns
yeah.
they're the top
which
of the
just,
league.
Again, I think screams for a little normalization.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
What about Josh Gordon or Devin Funchess with Minnesota coming to town? Funchess has been hot. He's a clear funnel receiver.
I'd start Gordon.
I think I'm going Gordon. I side Gordon on that side, too.
I think
it's a good conversation to have. Like, what are options that you would debate? Yeah. What about Dez Bryant or Josh Gordon?
I'd start Gordon all day.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a toss-up to me too. You guys are so clear on Gordon. I'm like, oh, maybe
well,
it is Josh
hold on.
Gordon.
I think it's a little closer than that.
I don't know.
I think Dez is in a good spot this week.
Dez has been in good spots a lot this year and
Dez
has done nothing.
Dez's ceiling is like 12 points in standard this year, and Gordon had 8 points last week in his first game
Dez
in 1,000 days.
Dez is going to have a big game.
Dez has had 85 yards once all – more than 85 yards once all season. Gordon did it in his first game back from like 3 years against
Casey
Hayward.
Yeah, you can't trust Dez.
You say he's been in good spots. He's been in awful spots all year. He's
early
tough,
in the season he was,
matchups.
But – early in the season, yeah, but his schedule opened up a little bit.
He played the Packers. He played the 49ers. He played the Chiefs.
The Cowboys take on the Giants.
He's a floor play, but I know we're excited about Josh Gordon. I am too, but I still don't think he's like a clear like locked in floor play.
I tell you, my stomach dropped every time Kizer targeted Gordon on Sunday because it looked like it could have been a big play every single time.
Oh yeah,
he overthrew him a bunch.
Yeah. He stinks. He's bad.
He led the league in intended average intended air yards or whatever that next gen stats metric is.
Yeah, yeah.
Gordon he's just unloading deep balls.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
All the time, but he can't hit on any.
Well, thanks for helping me set my lineup against franchise in the fantasy live playoffs. This week.
I would start Gordon against me.
Can we also say though that I wonder if there will be a little bit of a correction in the passing game? Bouncing out between Gordon and Corey Coleman. I almost felt as if the Browns made it a point to try to get Gordon acclimated and get his game feet under him.
I think that's totally possible. I'm excited about Josh Gordon
because Coleman literally put up a zero.
Four targets, no catches. I agree with you. I think that I could easily see it going the other way this week. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't, other than this is my problem with fantasy sometimes is we take what we just saw from last week and just immediately assume all right, every week going forward, this is how it's going to be. I could easily see a scenario where Gordon comes out and has four targets in this game and does nothing. I mean, I'm still playing him. I think you side on getting him in your lineup, but
sure.
It's not a locked in spot.
I think what you just said right there, that's exactly what it is, right? He's a must play for me as a flex player, mostly because I'm a guy that loves to chase upside. And the upside is obviously there. I mean, 152 touchdowns, that's the upside, right? But the floor with Kaiser, you're right. I mean, it could be a four-target, 10-yard type day. I mean, that might be his floor.
We have seen Kaiser lock in on one guy a lot, though. And before Gordon was there, it was Coleman. As a young quarterback, who are you going to side to? Like, Corey Coleman's, 5'11", a buck 90? Yep. Or are you going to throw it to the 6'4", 230-pound freak of nature even when he's covered, looks open because he's just a giant?
Yeah. There it is. No, he looked great last week.
Detroit taking on Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. Matt Harmon, what do you got? Matt Stafford, by the way, his hand, and Ameer Abdullah, neck, both limited in practice on
the Stafford hand is concerning.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's something to be worried about with Stafford.
He's one of those guys that I think will play through it regardless.
Which might be a good thing.
Right.
But, again, I mean, it's a great matchup. Tampa Bay has given up nearly 400 yards per game. So
not to Brett Hundley.
Not to Brett Hundley,
Yeah, but like real NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great matchup for Detroit if they want to go there. But again, it's hard to trust Stafford with that hand injury.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely concerning when you're talking about guys like, Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. I think you have to downgrade them a little bit with Stafford in this situation. I mean, again, I don't know if you're who you're breaking ties and getting them out of your lineup because both of those guys are pretty locked in terms of volume. I mean, Tate has had slow stretches for a couple weeks or whatever, but he came back pretty strong last week, I believe, with 8 catches. So I don't know. I think you end up probably having to get these guys in your lineup if Stafford goes out there. But it's suddenly a much riskier spot than it would have been. Don't want to mess around with Ameer Abdullah, regardless of whether he's in. I mean, I say that every week. Don't ever play Ameer Abdullah. It's just a nightmare. I'm not really interested in Theo Riddick either. I know he went out there for a little bit and got the most touches, but again, I think Teon Green is a guy that they'll probably look to in the red zone. And then on the Tampa Bay side, I think this is a good spot for Jameis Winston to have an okay bounce-back game. Like, I had a buddy ask me, he has Matt Stafford and Jameis Winston, and I think I'd probably just rather straight-up play Winston. Detroit's defense starting to fall apart. I don't really want to play anybody in the Bucs' backfield either if Doug Martin is going to get back out there. That just kind of takes everybody off the board for me.
Right.
Because I don't know what the coaching staff is going to do. And Mike Evans is a player I'm worried about in this game. I mean, he's going to be shadowed by Darius Slay, who's allowed a 60.8 passer rating in coverage this year. He's been awesome. Evans didn't have a catch until the fourth quarter last week, even though Jameis Winston returned. Against Green Bay, which is a good matchup. So, I definitely am a little worried about Evans in this spot.
Oakland taking on KC.
Oh, wait, I want to throw one thing out there. The Tampa Bay D could be a sneaky streamer in this one or a DFS play. Well, you look at two things. One, Stafford's offensive line has been banged up. Tampa Bay's at home. He's been sacked 3+ times in 4 straight games. And if he's got a messed up hand, that could lead to more fumbles. It could lead to more errant passes that are interceptions. I'm just saying,
that's a good point.
Low end play, especially in daily fantasy. If you want to differentiate yourself, don't be too afraid of throwing a dart at the Tampa Bay defense.
I like what you're thinking there. Oakland at KC. Marcus Peters suspended by Andy Reid for this game, weakening an already absolutely terrible secondary. franchise, what do you got in this game?
Yeah, the Marcus Peters news is, you know, opens things up for Michael Crabtree, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Amari Cooper apparently has cleared concussion protocol, but is still dealing with an ankle injury. That's kind of a concern for me. We saw Amari Cooper, I believe, at the end of the 2015 season there, the final stretch. He was dealing with a foot injury, and it really hampered his production. He had one big blow-up game, but it was 24 points, but he had 1 and 2 points in the other two that he played in. So keep an eye on Cooper. The ankle injury concerns me even in a good matchup. And then beyond that, I don't think you can trust Derek Carr.
You trust in Hunt?
If you have someone on your squad with more upside, a guy like Josh Gordon, I've gotten that question a few times, Josh Gordon or Kareem Hunt, I would probably play Josh Gordon.
That makes me sad.
You haven't been able to play Hunt for the last month or 2 months now.
Speaking of, I got a question from a guy. His league has no trade deadline. Would you trade Kareem Hunt for Josh Gordon straight up?
Yes.
If I'm getting Gordon?
Yes, you're getting Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely. And then Alex Smith, if he's out there on the waiver wire, I think this is a good matchup for him. Oakland defense has allowed 20 passing touchdowns to quarterbacks, just one pick all season. The Raiders are allowing 241 pass yards per game. That's 23rd in the league. Plus, his two pass catchers, Hill and Kelsey, they kind of caught fire against the Jets last week. I think they kind of abused the Oakland secondary. In week 7 against Oakland, Tyreek Hill had 6 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Kelsey also had a touchdown in that game, so confidently start both of those guys. And I think you can start Marshawn Lynch again, who's been on a hot streak, at least 17 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. So,
how do we feel about Derek Carr?
That's a good question.
Look, he's had like a solid floor the last 3 or 4 games, I think 13, 15, and 15 points, but...
Yeah, I waffled on this a lot in matchups. I was like, "Yeah, you should start him." No, don't. Yeah. Wait, but maybe. I want to test the room here because it is theoretically a good matchup. But Carr has only thrown multiple touchdowns, I think, twice all year.
Yeah.
And the last time he did it was against Kansas City, though. So Marcus Peters is out.
He has an awful history at Kansas City too.
It's like, historically tough place to play. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a bad defense this year, and they're missing one of their best players in the secondary. This game actually has from our friends in the desert, is theorized to be around 47 points.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
I think it could definitely be more than that.
Okay.
So, like, I think this game could get pretty high scoring. The Raiders defense sucks. The Chiefs defense sucks.
Yeah.
And they're missing Peters. Crabtree, as we mentioned, could be an easy funnel receiver just because he normally lines up on that right side of the field where Peters would be.
Yeah.
He could get, like, 13, 14 targets with Cooper out.
This could be a Crabtree 2 to 3 touchdown game for sure.
It certainly could be, and if that's going to be the case, then I think that bleeds back to Derek Carr, who has been – I mean, Carr's been really bad
what it was
this year.
He's thrown 1 touchdown pass in 7 of his last 9 games.
And it's not even just stats-wise. Like, to me, he's –
Oh, yeah. No, on the field, he hasn't played well either.
They're
I'm just
getting the ball out too quick. They don't go downfield enough. But I think in this game, I think the spot's enough where I like this game to shoot out, and that would be a situation where I want to get Carr in the lineup.
All right.
Interesting stuff. All right, I like it. All right, Minnesota at Carolina. Gilhar, we'll stick with you.
This is such an interesting game. I want to start with the Funchess thing because you were talking about this, Harmon. I know you had tweeted out some of the stuff from Next Gen Stats, but it's such an interesting matchup with Funchess because it's strength against strength for the Vikings defense and the Cam Funchess connection because they have Cam and Funchess since the Kelvin Benjamin trade have 137.3 passer rating when targeted out wide. They've connected on 21 of 31 attempts for 346 yards and 3 touchdowns. However, the Vikings, since week 5 on their winning streak, have been shutting down wide receivers team-wide. They're allowing just about 88 yards per game to wide receivers lined up out wide with 4 touchdowns and 3 picks, and that's over, 8 games. So I think I'm still going to err on the side of starting Funchess just because he has so many targets. He has so many of Newton's intended air yards, and we even saw last week, he was covered pretty well throughout that game, but he still was able to make some plays. I just think expectations have to be very tempered.
Yeah, people were tweeting with me yesterday about this when I tweeted that stat out, and they're like, well, you can't play Funchess. Like, look at what Xavier Rhodes did to Julio Jones last week. I'm like, well, look at what Marvin Jones did to Xavier Rhodes 3 weeks ago. Again,
right.
This is a problem. Like, people just forget this stuff. Like, wide receivers can win these battles, too. I mean, Marvin got literally all of his 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, I think,
against Rhodes.
And all of his 9 targets came against him. So I think Funchess could get over in this matchup, but it's going to be a tough battle. Like, it's a slow spot. What are you guys doing with Cam Newton in this spot?
I think I'm sitting Cam Newton.
Sick. Really? I'm playing him.
Okay.
My biggest concern with Cam Newton is that so much of his production this last stretch has come from rushing yards. He's been a top 15 quarterback in each of his last five games, but that's because he's had 304 rushing yards and two touchdowns. He's only averaging 179 passing yards per game that span. And why I'm concerned is that Minnesota allows the fewest yards per game on the ground to quarterbacks. Their linebackers are fast. They've got a super athletic defensive line that pressures the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think if Newton's not able to run and then he's forced to throw and Funchess is, you know, shadowed by Xavier Rhodes, maybe he doesn't have a huge day. I just struggle to see how Cam's going to put up an awesome line in this game against the Minnesota defense. That shut down Matt Ryan at home, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm still playing him mostly because, again, this is Cam's offense, right? So he's going to have all the opportunity in the world to score from close, score from range. I mean, it's very possible he doesn't get it done just because Minnesota's defense is so good. But if we're talking about streaming quarterbacks, I mean, because this is where we're at with Cam, right, is that he's in a quote-unquote – he's a low-end startable player in the conversation, at least, of would I stream somebody ahead of Cam Newton?
Right. Yeah. So
that's the conversation. And if
Derek
that's the
Carr
conversation –
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Jimmy Garoppolo or Cam Newton?
Oh, Cam Newton. Easy.
I think I'm going with both of those guys over Cam.
Wow. I think I come down on the sit Cam side too. Two of his biggest weaknesses this season. Well, going back to last season, he has the third worst passer rating against the blitz, 72.7 passer rating since the start of the 2016 season. Minnesota's passer rating when they blitz is 56.4. That's the third best this season. Obviously, they have two great pass rushers. There's a reason I said Joey Bosa. Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter have combined 38.5 sacks the last two seasons. That is tied for the league lead with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So I don't know. I think it's a big week. I mean, and Cam has been – he's been an up-and-down player this year. Like, he's had three games where he's been under 55 passer rating. So
very streaky.
Like you could still get MVP Cam in this game and he could go ham. But
that's what
I
am saying.
I just think there's too much stacked against him that I would rather be cautious and sit him and look elsewhere and take the L if he does go off, then start him and get 8 points.
I got you. All right, San Francisco at Houston.
We just got so focused on that stuff. I think Latavius Murray is a solid start here. I know you wrote him up in Aaron Ground as well, Franch.
Don't be scared of the matchup.
Get the hell out of my life, Jonathan Stewart, in this game. Scared. McCaffrey maybe still a flex in PPR.
Stewart also got injured last week, right?
He did.
Yeah, he did. Foot injury.
Is he fine?
He was limited in practice yesterday. I'd have to look that up.
No, he did not participate yesterday,
I think.
That's a red flag.
So, and then I'm still starting Diggs and Thielen. Not, you know, this is a tough matchup for them, but
it is.
Those guys are great. So
I'm really worried about Diggs,
They've started to give up – the Panthers have started to give up enough big passing production. I mean, Robbie Anderson ripped through them last week.
Yeah, McCown threw three touchdown passes.
I was going to say, six wide receivers to face the Panthers in the last 4 weeks have crossed 60 yards, and three have gone for 100-plus.
Yeah,
so there's certainly a reason to believe that Thielen or Diggs could hit in this game.
Yeah, not real worried about it.
San Francisco at Houston. I'll do a little self-promotion, shameless self-promotion.
Co-knows.
I break down the San Francisco passing game with Jimmy Garoppolo under center now.
It's good stuff in there.
Jimmy G, Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor. I think they're all fine plays. Jimmy G, for whatever reason, has added a lot of juice to that passing game. And the one stat that I saw that really stuck out to me in San Francisco's passing game was the fact that they moved the chains. Their third down conversion rate coming into week 14 was the sixth worst in the NFL. I think they were converting 34 or maybe 36% of their third downs. And then once Jimmy Garoppolo got in there, it climbed all the way up to 55%. So they're moving the chains, and they're doing it with guys like Trent Taylor. They're doing it with their tight ends. They're doing it with Marquise Goodwin. And I tell you what, my biggest takeaway was get excited about Marquise Goodwin because he's still getting those air yards. And all of a sudden, a guy who had a sub-50% catch rate caught all eight of his targets in that game. I don't know. I would get very excited about Marquise Goodwin if I was going to roll him out there in playoff week number one. But if you want to give it a read, NFL.com/co. All right. Dallas at New York taking on the Giants. By the way, OFYI, watch NFL Pick'em Saturday.
Woo!
Where the Fantasy Live boys break down Dallas taking on the Giants.
We had some fun with that one.
8 a.m., 3 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern NFL on Saturday.
Pick 'em. We get into some shenanigans
and
again.
Sunday morning, too.
So you guys,
and Sunday
you guys morning were under some desks.
DVR.
You guys were under desks?
We were under desks. You'll have to find out why.
Okay.
Dak has an injured hand, but the coaching staff doesn't sound too terribly worried, I don't think, about Dak's hand. So we'll see where he's at. But, Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really bad passing game. It has been for the last month.
About the Cowboys.
Yes, you would think that
I guess you could talk
about the Giants. I mean, you could talk about anything. Well, I said just for the last month, so it's Dallas. You would hope that this is a spot where Dak can get right. But this passing offense leaves – really no margin for error because they don't have very many good players. Terrence Williams has never been that good. Cole Beasley's had a terrible year this year. Everybody's talking about Dez Bryant being a guy who can't get open anymore, who can't do anything vertically. Cole Beasley has been awful this year, even as just a slot receiver. So
right.
There's just a real thin margin for error in this game. They don't have any explosive players because they don't get Bryce Butler on the field. So I don't know. I'm probably going to roll with Dak, you know, unless I have a really good streaming option against him. But just because I think that this could be a game where against the Giants defense that has lost Janoris Jenkins for the year, I think it's a solid bounce back spot for both Dez Bryant and Dak Prescott because of that. The outside coverage for the Giants is probably going to be really bad. I mean, they might have to bring back Eli Apple into the mix, who was benched because he's been terrible. Otherwise, they've got, like, Brandon Dixon back there, a bunch of just jabronis. So I think it's a solid spot for Dak and Dez to get back going. I think you trust Alfred Morris. He can obviously get game scripted out because he doesn't do anything in the pass game, but I took Dallas to win this game in our pick 'em segment, spoiler alert, I think that they should be able to control it. On the Giants side, we've got Eli Manning. Back in our lives.
Yes.
No more Geno. Dallas's pass defense can be exposed. I don't know if any of you guys want to stream Eli Manning in this game?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, probably not. But I do like Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram.
I was thinking about putting him in the danger zone.
Oh, man. That would be good for television.
Take a ride into the danger zone?
You know what I mean? Eli Manning? That'd be pretty funny, but
you could get a good segment out of that, which is really all that matters. Who cares?
Oh,
who cares if it's right or not?
which, by the way, seen the segment? I mean,
if you guys are not watching the Danger Zone segments on
awesome
Fridays,
Center.
You have
who cares?
To. You're doing it wrong.
It's a good TV. That's all I care about.
NFL Fantasy Live on Fridays is lit. You've got the Danger Zone and you've got the Fantasy.
Oh,
Fantasy
Hipsters are back this week, baby.
Yeah, buddy. We give you some good stuff about a few of the players we've talked about in this podcast that we're worried about and why you should not be an old man. And you should sit them. But anyways, speaking of old men, Eli Manning back for the Giants. Like I said, I like Sterling Shepard, I like Evan Ingram, and that's about it.
Can I just say this about Dallas? I've wondered this for a few weeks now, but why not? I mean, why not treat Dez like Arizona treated Larry Fitzgerald? Make him this huge slot guy and just give him a bunch of targets, and then throw Bryce Butler and Terrence Williams out on the outside to go vertical and at least test the secondary vertically. Because what Dez Bryant lacks is that break. He's never really had that huge speed. He just was a guy that, man, he would just box you out and fight for that ball. Let him do that in the slot. I'm confused as to why they keep rolling out Cole Beasley, especially given the fact that he really has not gotten a lot of separation this year, not catching balls thrown his way. I'd love to see Dez Bryant play in the slot.
Every wide receiver reaches this like inflection point in
their
career.
Drink.
Ding.
Every wide receiver reaches that point in their career where they can't do what they've done on the outside before.
Right.
And I think it takes a good coaching staff, which in my opinion Dallas does not
they
have.
They do not
whereas
have that.
Arizona and with Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians identified that and is like, let's do that. It also takes buy-in from the receiver too.
Right, I was going to say, I don't think 100%. Dez is going to agree to that at all.
Yeah, right. Like Fitzgerald was like, yeah, I'll do. You know,
Fitzgerald kind of fought it, but he did it.
Yeah,
like, he didn't want to.
Right, but he moved it in, and look, ended up being a huge success for his career. Like, we're not talking about Larry Fitzgerald in this type of production if he's
which
playing
is
outside.
Crazy
at this point. Yeah, right. So I mean, I think it's a good idea, but it takes buy-in from the receiver. Yeah. It also takes a lot
just
of like,
a random football thought I had in my head.
No, I think it would be wise for them to explore that option because he can't win outside at this point anymore like he did.
And just vertically, speed-wise, Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler are your guys, right? I mean,
it's always been weird to me that they won't get Bryce Butler out there more on the field because they have just
that,
no explosion.
No speed.
There's
got to
be something
speed.
We don't know about that or something.
Well, I think that's normally a good bet, but also I think this – really think this Dallas coaching staff is incompetent.
I think they're stuck in their ways. I think they see Dez and Terrence Williams as their starters, and you're not going to put Bryce Butler in the slot. So
Bryce Butler's just starting to enter that fantasy what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not loved, but somebody that the fantasy community loves because measurables and his big plays and stuff, but like, he never gets on the field, and fantasy's always like, why is he just get him on the field? And then he's going to be a free agent, he's going to go somewhere else, he's going to get a starting gig, and he's going to fall flat.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Like, I don't think he's some kind of star, but you need to get speed out there. Bryce Butler, probably not that good, but he makes explosive plays.
Anyways, we've talked about Dallas entirely too long. Let's talk about these later Sunday games. Washington at LCH. French, what do you got?
So on Washington side, you got to start Samaje Perine purely for the volume upside. He's had over 20 carries in two of the last three games. Last week was just a bad script. He was off the field with concussion, so you're firing him up against the Chargers. I think you also got to roll Jamison Crowder out there. Really good volume, 11, 8, 10, and 7 targets in his last four games. The Chargers are allowing the 7th fewest receiving yards to slot receivers this year, 551, but have allowed 6 touchdowns to slot receivers, which is tied for the 3rd most. And he's the most targeted guy in that passing game. You got to start Crowder. Doxson, we kind of talked about him Monday. It's kind of just a matter of time till he really blows up and combines like a big yardage game with a touchdown game, but he hasn't shown us that yet. It's a tough matchup against a Chargers secondary this week. I don't think you can play Doxson. And then Cousins kind of scares me a little bit. Again, it's a tough matchup. He had those 3 turnovers last week. The offensive line for Washington is still banged up. Morgan Moses and Trent Williams didn't practice Wednesday.
That's not good.
He was sacked, I think, 6 times last week, and the Chargers have an incredible pass rush. So it's just kind of a bad combination.
It just kind of stunk because it all started crashing down in that game in week 13. You know what I mean? They were getting by.
Yeah.
You know, it was duct tape, Band-Aids, and they were just getting by, and then it just all came crashing down.
Yeah, and also, if the Chargers' defense is, for some reason, still on the waiver wire, pick them up and start them this week.
100%. Good Lord.
And I think on the Chargers' side, you're starting Phillip Rivers. He's been hot.
Yep.
Obviously, Keenan Allen's been hot. Some people might be afraid of the matchup with Josh Norman, but per our next-gen stats, Allen's been moving around between the slot
and outside.
And our next-gen stats breakdown thinks Allen's going to be see more Breshad Breeland than he will Josh Norman. So that's good. And you're rolling out Melvin Gordon, too, because, I mean, volume, he's a workhorse.
There you go. Seattle taking on Jacksonville at Jacksonville. Alex Gilhar, what do you got?
The big question here is, do you start Russell Wilson or do you not start Russell Wilson?
Oh, you got to start him.
I think you got to start him.
I'm getting a lot of questions about that.
You guys are all emphatically saying you have to start Russ.
Emphatically.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Who would you play over him?
I don't know. I found Josh McCown on the waiver wire in a league.
Josh McCown's available in a lot of leagues.
So Josh McCown or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
Not even.
I mean, I'm having this huge conundrum because the Jags D has only given up more than 15 fantasy points twice all year. Granted, it's come in 2 of the last like 4 or 5 weeks to Blaine Gabbert of all people, and well, I mean, that was revenge game, so
true. You got to adjust for revenge.
Phillip Rivers was the other one in that bizarre game those two teams played.
Right.
But other than that, like, they've erased everybody. They do everything well. They've got a fast, dominant defensive line. They've got great cover corners.
You bring up the Phillip Rivers game, too. It's interesting because 2 of his touchdowns actually came throwing the ball to Austin Eckler underneath.
Yep.
And Eckler was the guy that actually made the play happen. So, that's interesting.
And, I mean, Russ is doing it all. And, like, I have him, and he's great. And he's got multiple touchdowns in, like, 7 straight games. Yeah. But I'm worried.
His worst game in the last, I think, 7 games is a 19 points in week 10. This is a discussion, though, because it is
the worst possible matchup, and it's at the most important possible time with the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's also rough that it's in Jacksonville, too. Like,
right.
The fact they have to go cross-country, the stupid 10, you know, 10
cross,
West Coast
cross-country.
Thing.
Yep, it's a late game, which helps. So he's going from Pacific Northwest bottom of the country in the East Coast.
Yeah, but about the longest trip you can make.
But Blaine Gabbert tore up Jacksonville, didn't he?
Yeah, but we were just saying
revenge.
You have to adjust for revenge.
And tore up. He still threw, like, 3 picks or something like
that.
But.
Nah.
Not quite his narrative. He's QB14 on the week, but I think...
1 pick.
Whatever.
I'm. It's even more than just a going down with like who brought you thing with Russ, like, which doesn't really matter, but I think that I think he can still get over in this spot. I mean, he's been so good this year, just unstoppable. Unstoppable, man. Yeah, no matter what the situation is, I think he's the best quarterback throwing to tight windows. He's one of the top five quarterbacks throwing against pressure this year.
I don't know what the hell Jacksonville. I mean, what's Jacksonville gonna? I mean, they've done spy. They've done everything defensively. And literally, it's like Tecmo Bowl with Russell Wilson. To the point where I can't – it's frustrating for me to even watch these games now because it's literally the same play, as I mentioned, over and over and over again. And in this game, it might just be Russell Wilson not dropping back 10 yards, not dropping back 20 yards. Maybe he has to drop back 30 yards to go pick up five.
Right.
Maybe that's the case. I don't know, given this defensive line. It's just –
and I look at all the parts of the matchup, though, too, and it concerns me. Like, his receivers are diminutive. Like, Paul Richardson's the big guy of the bunch, and he's like 6 foot, like 190.
Right.
So and AJ Boye and Jalen Ramsey are gonna have their way with those guys.
That's true. But can they stay disciplined in scramble drill? That'll be the question.
Jimmy Graham, bro.
I like Jimmy Graham's matchup. If you're gonna attack Jacksonville anywhere,
tight end has been a spot.
It would be up the middle. And Graham has been
smashing.
No separation, doesn't matter. They fit the ball into the tight window, like I mentioned.
Shock, throw it to the 6'8" guy or whatever, and he's gonna make a play when somebody's covering him
inside the 10-yard line. Yeah, and again, this has just all been on Russ. So I think you go down with him.
And even last week against the Eagles, like, they have one of the best defensive lines in the league, and they were talking about it during the broadcast. These guys are so used to getting to the quarterback, and they're just, by the second half, they're winded from chasing him all around, and
they
get frustrated, and he's out there putting up 25 fantasy points every game.
I almost think defensively teams should just sit back and just say, fine, throw it. I'm not gonna let you run it though, because it's, as you mentioned, they get gassed by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, and we saw that they looked good, they looked fresh in the first half. Second half, toast.
Yeah.
They were absolute toast.
Yes, but Jacksonville has 12 more sacks than Philadelphia on the year,
dude.
Yeah, but Philadelphia has at least seven. Heading into last week, was 17 more pressures, and they lead the league in quarterback hits.
I mean, bottom line is both defensive lines are just absolutely terrific. I'll give you a deep sleeper in this game as well. J.D. McKissic, I wonder if they might have to dump off to J.D. McKissic, given those great cornerbacks there in Jacksonville. But there you go. All right.
I don't think you play Mike Davis in this spot, but I think you definitely want to own
Mike
Davis.
You want to
have
him, yeah.
No, I hear you. Sure. Philadelphia at L.A. Rams. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
This is a game that I struggled, like, franchise and I have to pick games ahead of time for NFL Blitz on Sunday morning. Watch at NFLTwitter.com at 8 a.m. Pacific on Sunday mornings. We have to pick games ahead of time, and this is the game I had to pick. And I kind of struggled with this one, like, how I see it going. Philadelphia, like, they have been just smacking teams around of late, but they've also been smacking a lot of bad teams around, which I don't, like, hold against them. That's what you should do. You should beat the crap out of bad teams if you're a good team, and they have absolutely done that. However, they go to Seattle and last week, and I thought really Seattle kind of controlled that game.
They kind of took it to them.
Yeah,
they did, but Philadelphia's game plan coming in was terrible.
Well, and they also, Zach Ertz went down, which I think would have been a big matchup advantage, but he went down in the third quarter. I mean, I think that this game can go a lot of different directions. On the Rams' offensive side, I don't know how you guys feel about Jared Goff this week. This is probably a spot I don't want to play him against. Like I mentioned, the Eagles lead the NFL in pressures.
Not that good under pressure.
Goff is so-so under pressure. Yeah. He's been up and down this year when facing pressure. Some games he's been good, some games he's been bad. The Eagles secondary, I think this is a spot to play Sammy Watkins. I think he can, especially if Robert Woods is going to miss another game, which it looks like he will.
Yep.
I like Sammy Watkins to be like a sleeper again this week. Maybe get an explosive play over, which would help Jared Goff. But at the same time, I think this is just going to be a big Todd Gurley game. Even though this is a bad matchup, the Eagles give up the least amount of rushing yards in the NFL, 817. They've given up 4 touchdowns, 3.5 yards per attempt. I don't really care. Gurley's just getting the ball so much, and he's smashed bad matchups before, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So I think this is, if the Rams are going to win this game, I think it's going to be on the back of Todd Gurley. And then on the Eagles side of the ball, this This Rams run defense can be had. We saw Kerwin Williams get over 90 yards against them last week. Mm-hmm. But this Eagles backfield, while Jay Ajayi registered season high in carries and snaps last week, you know, it's still a committee. LeGarrette Blount is still going to be out there. Corey Clement is still going to be out there. I think if you need just a ceiling Hail Mary in your lineup, I guess you can go with Ajayi because he has shown big playability, but it's a thin spot, even though this is a good matchup for him. And
I think LeGarrette Blount's going to actually have a pretty good game.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, there's no reason to think that wouldn't happen. Like, these guys are both getting the ball, so and it could easily be that the, you know, again, I don't want to get in the trap of like, well, we saw Ajayi play season highs and carries and snaps last week. Like, obviously, it's his job now. You know, that's like just making an assumption. So, and then on the Eagles passing game, I like Nelson Aguilar again in this spot. The Rams have been pretty up and down, decent at slot coverage, but at the same time, we saw Larry Fitzgerald get up against them last week, and I think that Nelson Aguilar has legit played well all year. And
if
Ertz is out, the problem with Aguilar is that he hasn't gotten a lot of targets, but you know, we saw him register, obviously, a season high in targets last week with 12, and I think that some of that might have had to do with Ertz being out. If Ertz is out again, that takes another presence out of the middle of the field, which should open things up for Nelson Aguilar.
All right, I like it. Sunday Night Football, it's Baltimore in Pittsburgh. Alex Collins has had a migraine issue earlier this week, but it seems as if he is good to go. He may have gotten over those migraine issues going into Sunday Night Football. Franchise, what do you got?
I think Alex Collins is the only member of the Baltimore Ravens you can start.
He's been so good.
He's been good, and Pittsburgh has given up points to running backs the last two games. Jamal Williams put up points against them, and we saw Joe Mixon kind of tearing them up last week, and then Gio Bernard had a good game, plus Ryan Shazier. Pray for Ryan Shazier. That guy is in bad shape. I think he's still in a hospital somewhere in Pittsburgh. But that weakens this Pittsburgh linebacker core and weakens their rush defense. So definitely fire up Alex Collins.
What about Mike Wallace revenge game?
I was just going to say.
I'm not buying into like what Joe Flacco did last week. I'm not buying into that. He's been so bad all year. Maybe Mike Wallace gets some volume.
I think Wallace has had a couple decent games in a row here. Yeah. He had 56 in a touch, 5 for 48, not great, and then he had 5 for 116. So
pass.
If there's anybody,
I'll pass.
And AJ Green did kind of get over on the Steelers last week.
Well, but Joe Hayden, their defense has been kind of torched a little bit without Joe Hayden. Brett Hundley had his career game against them.
Sure,
AJ Green damn near had 3 touchdowns against them.
Crazy.
So
they're not the same defense they were.
If anybody's
going to
do it, it's going to be through revenge.
I don't think you can trust. Maybe in a PPR league you can roll Wallace out, but if you're using Mike Wallace in your fantasy playoffs,
good luck to you.
You're in bad shape. And then on the Steelers side of the ball, definitely don't think you can start Big Ben, but you're starting AB and Bell, and we already talked about Martinez.
Big Ben even at home?
No.
No,
not
Jimmy
against,
Smith?
Not against Baltimore.
Okay. All right. I just throwing it out there. I don't know. No. Monday Night Football, New England at Miami. It should be a bloodbath, but Gelhar, what do you got in terms of fantasy?
I mean, start all your Patriots. Start, you know, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. Chris Hogan's coming back, so we'll want to – I think he's coming back. He's been practicing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was
out there. So that would be interesting to see how that's going to change the passing game.
No Gronk.
So that could mean good things for him, Hogan, and Brandon Cooks to still both stay up there. Do not play Dwayne Allen if you lost Gronk. Just do not do it.
I think it opens up more targets potentially for somebody like Rex Burkhead, which gets me really excited about playing him this week.
I mean, he and Deion Lewis are every week flex play. Every week starters. There's no two ways about it. You're starting those guys. On the Miami side, Damian Williams probably still going to be out. I don't think he's come back from practice yet. He had that bad shoulder injury, which would mean Kenyon Drake's in a great spot again. I mean, we saw him get absurd volume last week and do a bunch of damage with it.
True.
Damian Williams still is not practicing Thursday. So fire up Kenyon Drake. No thanks on the quarterback situation, but I guess Jarvis Landry and maybe Kenny Stills. Because they're going to have negative game script. They're going to be chasing the Patriots here on the scoreboard. So those guys could be in the mix. But other than that, no thanks on Devontae Parker or Julius Thomas.
All right, go to the website if you want info on Tennessee, Arizona. Jets taking on Denver. Chicago taking on Cincinnati. in Indianapolis taking on Buffalo. The website, NFL.com/fantasy matchups. All right, let's close out your show with a round of Daily Daps.
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 Daily Daps.
Daps. All right, I'll kick us off. I'll Daily Dap New York Times. This came out a year ago, but I just ran across it myself.
Late Co.
It's called The 10-Meter Tower. It is basically a documentary on – it's just a – it's such a simple concept. It's a 10-meter dive, so it's 32 feet in the air, and they just – have random Swedes go up this tower, and they say you can jump or you can not jump. And so they there's a lot of mics there that pick up all the sound, and you get the conversation, the internal conversation of people having, you know, should I jump? Should I not jump?
What?
And then it's like a couple that goes up there, and they're like, well, if you jump, then I'll jump. Are you really going to jump? Because if you don't, then I won't. It's fascinating to me to kind of see the range of human emotions. And I got to be honest, have any of you guys stood, like, I know Kelhar has, but I did a rock jumping thing in Hawaii once where it was about 30 feet in the air.
It's high.
Oh, my, it's so high.
Yeah.
When you're on the ground, you're thinking, oh, that's not that bad. But when you get up there.
The perspective changes when you're up there.
Oh,
but, like, you and I were
cow.
Saying in Slack, because, like, I've done it, and I'm not somebody who's very scared of heights. Like, I thought I would just, no joke, like, no doubt, get up there and do it. But you get up there, and you do have a moment of hesitation. You're like, whoa, that's higher than I thought. But you just can't dwell
on
it.
You're fighting human instinct.
Which is what's so funny about that video is because you watch all those people start thinking about it and dwelling on it, and you're like, oh, my God.
Because the logical side of you is like, hey, I know this is good to go because I've seen people do it.
It's water.
It's a pool. It's very controlled. It should be good to go. But you get up there, and if you've never done it before, you are fighting human instinct so bad. Anyways, if you want to find it, it is, again, it's the New York Times. It's on YouTube. It's on their website. It's called the 10-Meter Tower. It's very, very interesting. It's 15 minutes. You don't need to see the whole thing, but I would watch at least the first 5 minutes of it. So there you go. By the way, after I saw that, then I also got you put this up in Slack, but I had seen this before too, making the rounds, all the diving fails. The diving fails that are making the rounds on the internet right
Hilarious.
Now. They are amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
It's great because it's people biffing it, but like they're falling into water too from a couple feet off the thing, so it's not as, you know, it's not bad. But man, it's funny.
It's great. It's absolutely great. And it's not and like the thing about it is it's not these it's not randos doing it. It's like actual like collegiate or high school divers.
Huh.
But they're so bad.
Yeah.
And you realize like you're only used to seeing like the Olympic level divers and it's like amazing, you know what I mean? Like they go in, they nail it every single time and it's like even when they quote unquote miss, it's like they missed that dive?
Yeah,
it's
wait,
what? God, that looked amazing. These dives are so horrific. They are amazing. They're amazing. Anyways, so go check those things out. That's my Daily Daps. Alex Gellhart, what do you got?
Well, first off, I have to give a Daily Dap to all the firefighters and emergency responders and stuff in California.
Yes,
doing
a
hell of a job because the fires have just been crazy and conditions were very poor for them to spread, and they did. And it looks like they've got things much more under control now, which is awesome because those types of fires are really hard to fight and contain. And it was scary. It got real close to Los Angeles down here with up being in Skirball Canyon. So Daily Daps to everybody there for doing everything they did to keep all of us safe. And
you guys see that video of it's like right up on the freeway.
It was on the 405.
It looked like people were driving in the freaking sun.
Hell on earth.
It was craziness.
And then I read a really good article last night. It was from last year. I've talked about it before, but I have the Pocket app where I just store stuff in there. And I was scrolling through it. I was like, I got to clean out some of this stuff from a long time ago. Because the trouble is you see so much good stuff. You're like, oh, I'll save that to read it for later. And I think I have like 150 articles in here. But it was I want to say this, preface this, not to be political or anything, but it was just the election. Somebody from The New Yorker.
Offended.
David, hold on, I just pulled it up and I lost it. Oh, yeah, so David Remnick from The New Yorker was with Obama during, like, right before the election and shortly after and wrote an article just like how the whole election was viewed through his eyes. But Obama had a really good quote that I think is something that everybody should think about whenever we have discussions, whether it be about politics, fantasy football, other stuff. He was talking about how he was talking to his daughters following the election, and he said, when you're talking to other people, and he said, what I say to them is that people are complicated. societies and cultures are really complicated. It's not mathematics. This is biology and chemistry. These are living organisms, and it's messy. And your job as a citizen, as a decent human being, is to constantly affirm and lift up and fight for treating people with kindness and respect and understanding. And you should anticipate that at any given moment, there's going to be flare-ups of bigotry that you may have to confront or may be inside you and you have to vanquish. And it doesn't stop. You don't get to go. Don't get into a fetal position about it. You don't start worrying about apocalypse. You say, okay, where are the places where I can push to keep it moving forward? And I just thought that was a really important way to look about how we talk to people about differences and things like that. I read that quote and it just really, it really resonated with me. So I was like, that's really cool and just something that I wanted to talk about on here. So whatever your disagreement is, if you're fighting about Jurassic World and how terrible it is in Slack,
okay,
which we did yesterday, or it's talking about politics with your family at the holidays, or, you know, fighting about fantasy football, man, what have you. Just remember that, you know, we're all human beings, and it's not mathematics. It's not binary. It's messy. Like, it's people have different perspectives and different feelings and come from different places. So just something to remember when you have these conversations, that it's not, you know, a war. It's a conversation, and there's going to be disagreements. And remember that it's a human you're talking to and interacting with.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. All right, what do you got, Matt?
not to completely change the subject, but I was gonna dap the. I was in Disneyland, which God, I've been to Disneyland like 4 freaking times since I've moved here because one of my older sisters works as like a part time travel agent with Disney, so she's there a lot and gets me into the park for free.
Oh,
so
freaking awesome!
Yeah,
bro.
So that's nice. So I've been She was down there for a work thing this past week, so I went down and met her on my day off on Tuesday, and it's really cool right now because it's all decorated for
Christmas.
Yeah. And which like. Disney could take it or leave it, whatever. I also have realized, like, as somebody in their mid-20s, like...
Late 20s.
Mid-20s. I'm 26, bro. That is firmly mid-20s. Back the hell off. Anyways. there's, like, a lot of it, the rides are just, like, you're sitting there and just kind of looking at stuff. And I don't really care about looking at any of this. Like, Small World, for example, like, holy hell, like... Let's move it along here. Can these boats go any faster? But the one ride that was really cool is they have... Yeah. They have like the haunted mansion in there, like completely redecorated with the Night Before Christmas, and it's dope. That's a great movie, and it's really cool to see the inside of that.
Nice.
And I got to have a lot of fun while I was down there. Like I said, could take it or leave it to Disney thing, but I was having a lot of fun with the whole, you know, war on Christmas thing. I was having a lot of fun with that. I'm like, I posted a tweet yesterday with a picture that I took in there from It's a Small World of like a snowman holding a Happy Holidays sign. I'm like, did anybody tell this guy that we're saying it again?
We're saying Merry Christmas.
We're saying Merry Christmas. So
you had a great trip to Disney, it sounds like.
Yeah, I did.
Is it the most magical place on earth?
No.
No.
Wow.
I like to, and that's another
shooting down Disney in a big spot.
No, it's not the most. Look, it's still a theme park. Like at the end of the day, you're still like around a lot of awful people, taking up way too much room, spending an absurd amount of money.
Why are you awful if you go to Disneyland?
Because there's just a lot of awful people, and you're getting them all in a lot of confined space, which accentuates people's awfulness.
Oh my lord!
Like, I could really go in on the whole
Let's
Disney.
Not,
I could really go in on the whole Disney thing because like I've been four times now, and I have a lot of takes on Disney.
Save it for the Disney podcast.
I will save it for the
you
Disney podcast.
You wouldn't be able to say all this if you worked for ESPN.
Unbelievable.
Well, listen, if the mouse wants no. I'll sell out. Hey, listen, if ESPN wants to come calling, I'll sell out for the mouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this before. I can't wait to sell out.
I've sold out. I'll sell out for worse.
Oh,
shoot,
man.
I don't care.
Yeah, you
want I'm about me. This is about me.
You want me to hawk some crappy beer? I'm in.
I do not care.
Oh, yeah.
Let's let that be known.
Absolutely. I'm down to sell out.
The circle of Harmon's Daily Dap.
Yes.
There
yeah,
was
this,
hilarious.
Got, this got weird, wow. But yeah. The point is I am fully on board with Christmas this year, so.
Matt Franchise.
Team Christmas.
Cool.
I am on the pro Christmas side of the war on Christmas, and
there's a
enough.
War.
No, also for Harmon was like anti Christmas for a while. It's like ugh, Christmas music, like ugh, joy, like ugh, Christmas movies, and now he's making a heel turn.
I'm doing a heel turn on Christmas, but I do find the whole like the war on Christmas bit is one of my favorite things ever because it's like war on Christmas. Have you been in a freaking Target in the last 5 years?
Have you turned on like any radio
Christmas
station
is
or
winning.
Any television channel?
If there's a war on Christmas, Christmas is winning it.
Big Christmas.
Yeah. Big Christmas. So I've bought in on Big Christmas. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right. Good.
I'm on that side.
What do you got, pal?
All right, one of my favorite artists.
What a stupid conversation.
Yeah, that was terrible. Everyone stop listening
at
this point.
Do we want me to go back and talk about Hocus Pocus again?
No.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Okay. Get a life.
So I'm super excited because one of my most favorite artists, his name is Jonathan Wilson. He is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist / producer. He's super talented. He was Father John Misty's right-hand man on his Grammy-nominated album called Pure Comedy. He has announced a third full-length album called Rare Birds coming out March 2nd. He just released a single called Over the Midnight. There's a video. It's on Spotify. And he's playing three shows in downtown L.A. Right before Christmas. And I got tickets to one of them at a super small venue, and I'm super pumped about it. If you don't know who Jonathan Wilson is, go explore his catalog. Check him out online. He's like – he's the best guitar player I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty sure I've levitated at both shows of his that I've been to. Like, I have floated off the floor. He's incredible.
Just from the music?
He's incredible. Obviously. And I say that's like my line. Obviously, I say when bro. I'm talking about – no, seriously. Stone sober, this guy is like incredible. So check out Jonathan Wilson.
I like it.
New album coming out.
Producer Chris, close the show.
Wow. I'm going to keep things very simple. Firefighters, probably for the best. Shout out to the firefighters, and then shout out to all the listeners, and best of luck in your fantasy football playoffs this weekend.
I feel attacked by Chris saying he's going to keep it simple.
It wasn't about the Disneyland rant.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man.
Well,
what a show.
Good to see you guys are on the wrong side of history in the war on Christmas.
What a show.
Chris is anti-Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today, it's week 14. It's the first week of the fantasy playoffs. Man, let me just say to everyone out there, good luck. Have fun. And I hope you score all those fantasy points, man. But, man, here we go. First week of the playoffs.
Good luck to everybody except Franchise in our matchup this week.
Oh, hey, yeah. The hipsters play each other in the Fantasy Live League, dude. It's going to be epic.
It's great.
Can't wait to watch you two tilt over every snap on
only
Sunday.
Only one will live.
The other
will be fired and most likely go missing.
I think what I need to do is I need to bring in my GoPro and just post it up right there. And just
watch me tilt over Steven Anderson.
Absolutely. Watch both of you guys tilt.
See, I'm gonna do that thing that which drives Franchise nuts where I don't care. I'm just gonna be like, it doesn't matter to me. It's just a game and just gonna do that.
We'll get the recap on Monday.
Well,
For the Whiskey from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhardt, for Matt Harmon and producer Chris, I'm James Cole. We'll see you later.